Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. Don't have the necessary or the normal time to go into my first world problem story for this week. We actually have our guest coming on early, as I indicated to my note to everybody. So we got to move some things around. Then I'll get on to my whole rundown of the bull crap that went on in my life. Hey, look, y'all know that I'm trying to stop cursing as much. I'm trying. It's working a little bit. Val, good morning, sis. How you doing?
Good morning, bro. How are you doing?
I'm great. Don't be laughing at me. I'm trying. Look, I'm trying to turn over a new lease. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work that well, but every now and again I try. We tried to get you last week. We couldn't catch up with you because
right. You
were in the middle of the ride, but we wanted you to recap what happened. Tell the people what happened.
All right, well, thank you. So last weekend we had our second annual District 8 Division 2 Suicide Prevention Charity Ride and Event. And let me tell you, the people came out, they showed up, showed out, and helped and donated. Let me tell you, it was
magnificent. What kind of money did you raise?
We raised, at the end of the day, we ended up presenting the charity, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, North Carolina chapter. We presented them a check with $4,150 is what we raised.
Woohoo! And what was your goal?
We didn't set one because when I do something like this, I don't set a goal because if I don't reach it, I don't want to be disappointed.
I got you. It's like men in marriage. I'm sorry, keep on.
Well, yeah. But your brother, he, you know, he's for your sister here, you know, so. Yeah, it was wow. That's how it last weekend was. I'm not going to say epic, but it was awesome.
Okay. And so, but you got the support that you needed from the municipality.
Yes.
You got
the
law enforcement support.
Yes. Yes, we had all six law enforcement agencies. They showed up, and they actually added one, so I got to go back and get a plaque to present to them because we didn't know that it was going to have another small-town police department help out with blocking traffic so we could get through. We ended up having 67 motorcycles, six vehicles, and a semi that's the honor semi. It's called the Rider Prize semi that was on the ride.
Okay.
So,
and this is going to be annual, correct?
Annually, the second weekend of April every year.
God, you girl, you need that. Oh, and it's going to be all the way over there. See, y'all don't understand. So the part of North Carolina I live in is in the southern western portion of the state. She talking about going all up over here on the northeast side. It doesn't look big on a map, but there are, like, no direct routes in Carolina to really move around. You would think that there were, but it really isn't. You know what I'm saying? So
no.
The state has to work on that. There are north and south routes, yes, but not a lot of direct east-westernly routes, you know what I'm saying, in Carolina. So getting from this southwestern bend to that northeastern bend, yo, that's like 4 hours. That is crazy. You're driving in one state damn near 4 hours on the East Coast. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, you want to know a little secret? Yeah, but you want to know a little secret? So there was this DJ, this DJ and his promoter, they contacted me, and he's a retired Navy vet. Shout out to DJ Ray and Miss Tamisha if they're listening. They came from Charlotte to help out, and he played music in between the band, the live band set, and they said they're coming back. They're going to help promote the ride from the Charlotte area, like I know you do as well.
Right.
So they came all the way out. He was like, I'm not missing this. I'm coming out for this.
That's awesome. Now, what the other secret is you don't ride. And you said folks were amazed at the fact that you were able to coordinate. Well, you do, but you're simply the passenger.
Right. I don't ride yet. Yes,
right.
I don't ride yet.
Are you serious? Are you serious right now?
Yeah, I went to Florida and took the class last summer.
Please let me talk to your husband. Pass the phone. Please let me talk to your husband.
He's not here. He's in West Virginia on the road. He got to make that money.
That's why you're talking this trash. That's why you're talking this trash. Because if he was there, he and I would put an end to this foolishness. We don't need you on no dang old motorcycle. We don't need none of that.
I took the class. I thought I sent you the pictures, but yeah, I went to Florida. My best friend paid for me to come down there and take the class at the Harley Davidson, Space Coast Harley Davidson in Palm Bay, Florida.
Okay. I hear you.
But look,
need to get a trike.
I am getting a trike. That's the plan. I'm getting a trike. That is the plan.
There you go. Okay.
I'm definitely getting a try. But it was, you know, it was great. And they were amazed that somebody that is a non-rider was able to coordinate and plan a ride of this magnitude and never actually rode.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
But
to
I encourage anybody, I encourage anybody that wants to ride, go learn how to ride. The class is really simple. I mean, it's a little scary the first time you roll off with that bike, but I encourage anybody to do it. And that was one of my goals, was to take this class before I turned 50 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
Brother Barry is on with us.
Okay. Good morning.
Thomas, did you have any questions?
No, I ain't had no questions, man. I kind of came in on the back end of it. I just walked in the house, a little bit late, so I apologize. But, hey, congratulations on another ride. You guys are doing your dang thing out there and bringing that awareness for veterans. So shout out to you.
Thank you. I mean, even the car show turned out to be great. We had 46 participants in the car show. We had 30-plus vendors on the inside of the building and 4 food trucks. So it's only bigger and better and upwards from here.
That's what's up, sis. That's what's up, man. You know, you're doing your thing. The vendors, how did they do? Did they do pretty well? Did the car show turn out a good crowd?
Yeah, it did turn out a good crowd. Like I said, it was 46 participants. The only category we didn't have, and we're not for certain why, was we didn't have anybody show up for the Jeep category. But that's okay. We're just going to, you know, make sure we get the word out and the advertising out next year. But I'll send you some of the pics if you haven't looked on my Facebook page yet, because they're all up there, all the ones that I have received so far. So that's about almost 70 pictures on my Facebook page.
Okay.
And a couple of videos because I was live on the back of the bike.
As you always are. Did the vendors, were they happy when they left or, you know?
Yeah, they were. So
tricky.
What they did,
okay.
Yeah, so what we did was, because that's the first year we did the vendor event, we decided that the vendor fee donation would be their donation towards the charity. So eventually, right. I do think one vendor did donate a portion of her proceeds to the charity, but I don't know how much that was over $4,000.
I got you. That's all right. Hey, as long as the money came in and it can go to the people that need it, that's what matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you.
I can't even say, because last year we did almost $600, so I can't even say we quadrupled. I can't even add up how we went further. We did 1,000% more than what we did last year.
A thousand percent more, you said?
Yeah, we only raised about $600 last year. But that was the first one, and we only did the ride.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. Just keep it going. We will always be an asset to you. Just let us know what you need, and we'll do what we can. And, oh, good Lord, I'm going to put myself out there. If I can make it work next year. Lord, don't do that. Don't lean in like that.
The fact that you are now in the good Carolinas that you're more accessible for me to get to, I appreciate that.
Well, you know, be it I'm here or not. Hell, last time I came down from Maryland, so you know I will ride.
You did. Yes, you did when we had the prostate cancer charity ride.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all about time.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Thank
you, sister. You be good.
Thank you.
Was there anything else you wanted to share? Anything else coming up?
Yeah. Ironically, because all the effort I put into this, I have had several other MCs and organizations contact me about planning charity rides for them.
Okay.
So it's going to – and I literally just the other day, was it Monday, Tuesday? Tuesday, I just finished up the flyer and a charity ride route for a veteran's wife in the community who has stage 4 colon cancer. So I just literally got that done and planned and out, yeah. So it was like they reached out to me before the ride, so in between me finalizing everything for the ride, I had to do that. So I got all the information, everything planned out, and yeah, they're getting ready. That will take place on the 18th of next month. Yeah, that was a quick window. So, yeah.
Yeah, for real. I'm like, wow, hold on now. Nah, but I gotta be in this. I gotta be in Columbus, Georgia that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's cool. You know, we'll make it work. Actually, I gotta be in Raleigh next weekend, so I will contact you and we'll talk about that and see if you got something that I may be able to help with or even join in. So, we'll definitely work that out. Yeah, I got an event going on up this Saturday, and then Doc called me about something on Sunday, I tell you. But, you know, North Carolina is starting to creep up there with Maryland. I'm starting to get busy and busier, but that's a good thing because I'm being busy with the stuff that I want to do, not that
I won't make it to that charity ride until that later on that afternoon, because that morning I have my last district meeting for the year, and it's also our election, so I will be running for district commander again. And I already see that I'm going, you know, I've already claimed it in God's name that I will be reelected as district commander.
Okay. So let's play devil's advocate for a half a second. I got you for another half a second.
Okay.
What if you're not? What would you do if that did not happen? What would you focus on?
I would still focus my energies towards the ride because of my co-chair.
Okay.
You know, everybody, you know, suicide has touched everybody in some form or fashion. And I was also approached by the two gentlemen that are running for North Carolina Department American Legion Commander, if I would serve on the Be the One committee at department. So Just because mm-hmm. one door closes, that don't mean another one didn't open.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, whoever wins, I will still be a part of bringing suicide awareness. I was, as a past commander, I will still be able to, you know, put my energies towards this ride.
And the passion that you have for the suicide prevention and awareness, where does that really, what's that driving factor?
The driving factor is, in some form or fashion, this us in some way. I never thought I would actually know somebody that took their life. Like I said, 3 years ago, this came about because a former soldier of mine took her life.
Right.
You never know the state of mind that somebody is going through. And being a combat
right.
veteran myself,
right.
I have my good days, I have my bad days, but thank God I have never decided to make a long-term decision on a temporary problem. I have enough things to keep me going and keep me busy to keep my mind from going to that dark place. But on the
right.
occasions that I get like that, I just back off and close myself off from people, take a couple of days to regroup, and then I come back out strong. I go get my therapy. I actually had a therapy appointment this week to discuss everything, because what a lot of people don't understand is stress plays a major factor in your mental health. You have good stress and you have bad stress. And I have taken
right.
my good stress and turned it into something passionate, which overrides my negative stress. Now, the negative stress is going to always be there, but I have found ways to not let it take over.
Well, your kid's still alive, right?
Yes. My
but
son, I mean,
stress,
he... my former soldier, she took her life. My son, he thought about it when he was in middle school when I was stationed in Colorado. And I had to fight like hell to get, you know, to help him and be there to help him, because they were trying to deploy me. It literally came down to 36 hours or was it 18 hours before that bird flew, before my name came off the manifest. And I never understood how important that part, that little thing right there, was going to play in my life, which brought me to where I am now after the effort, you know, as I found out that my former soldier took her life. So
right.
as I was told by a minister in the community, that is my ministry, is to get the word out about suicide prevention, that there are resources out there in the community to help people, that you're not alone. And a lot of problems come about when people don't know where to turn to. And and the stereotype and, you know, the stigmatism that comes with it. Because, you know, growing up, Lee, that we had family members that said, oh, you know, Uncle so-and-so, Cousin so-and-so, they ain't right in the head. They got messed
right.
up in the war. You know, different things.
True that.
Nobody talked about it because it was a taboo subject back then.
Yeah.
Nobody talked about it. And even now, when I say something in front of my parents about it, because in order for me to be able to do what I do with this cause that I'm doing, I have to be transparent about my own mental health issues. But my parents, they can't stand it when I say something about it. They quick to say, stop telling people something wrong with you before they think something wrong with you. Well, the reality of it is, there is something wrong with me, but I know how to control it. I didn't turn to drugs.
Right.
I didn't turn to alcohol. You know, and that's one of the other problems in the community where things happen. They turn to all these other avenues trying to self-medicate, and it don't work.
Yeah.
And all it does is make a problem worse than what it is. Because in my research, I found out that the state of North Carolina is 11th in suicide in the nation.
Oh, wow.
And 94% of people that were surveyed have thought about unaliving themselves in some form or fashion.
Hmm.
And out of that percentage, I think it was another 68% of people have unalived themselves with some type of weapon. So yeah, this gets deep. It gets real deep because in order for me to be able to promote this cause, I had to dig deep. I went on the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention website, and they had links up there, and which led me the, you know, the stats for all of the, you know, all the nation, you know, all the states in the country. Then that led me to the CDC website, which led me to other things. So yeah, there were days and hours of research that I did in order to understand what I was about to embark on.
Right.
Because I didn't want to go in this not understanding, you know, somebody come up and ask me a question. I want to make sure I'm able to give them the right answer.
Right.
Because also what I found out in that Man 22 suicide awareness, did you know that 18% of the of females of that number take their lives? That's over half.
Wow.
That's over half.
Well, again, just thank you for you picking up the torch and running with it, without a doubt.
Yeah, it really gives you something to think about after you start doing the research.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you for fighting the fight.
Yeah, it really makes you look at things in a whole different perspective. It makes you prioritize things a little bit better. It makes you understand that what is little to you is big to somebody else.
True that. Rodney's on too. Rodney, do you have anything to ask or add, or you good and we can let her go?
Nah, brother, let the sister go. I came in a little late, so I appreciate the work that
you're
doing, and you need more folks.
I got you. Well, Val, thank you, sis. You have a great one. Appreciate you. Anytime you need us, just call. And you know you got it.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, now. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
All right, so we go in from that to the guy that set himself ablaze in New York City. Now, from all the understandings that the police have right now, it seems like he was a conspiracy theorist. He was actually leaning more toward what was going on at Columbia University than what actually happened at the Trump trial, but because it happened in close proximity, close enough. And on the date of the trial, there was speculation that the two may be linked. This young man was from Florida. I say was because he did die due to his injuries. Florida, they said that parked his car in Florida sometime around Tuesday, I want to say. And they don't know how he got to New York. His family was actually under the impression that he was still in Florida. But managed to get himself up to New York and was handing out pamphlets. And he threw the pamphlets up in the air shortly after dousing himself with some liquid, set himself ablaze. The emergency crews rushed him away on the stretcher after the fire was extinguished outside the courtroom where jury selection for former President Trump taking place. Witnesses say they saw a man pour liquid over his head, set himself on fire. They identified him as 37-year-old Max Azzarello of Florida. Say he arrived in New York sometime early in the week. I don't know what makes someone set themselves ablaze. I don't. But going on the line that we started the show with suicide prevention, if you feel strongly enough about a cause, I guess you literally do just about anything for that cause. It's just sad that folks feel like they're not heard enough that they resort to taking their own lives, either make a statement put an emphasis on whatever they're saying. Trying to, I think we are so connected nowadays through the use of the internet, cell phones, and the like, that we are too so divided. Those things. People have entire interactions. I don't even want to call them conversations, but entire interactions in characters. Folks have gotten to the point where they don't even take time enough to spell out words. Everything's an abbreviation. Folks have gotten to a point where they don't even talk to one another. You've seen them in a restaurant, Brother Barry. You've seen them in a restaurant, Brother Rodney. They're sitting across the table from one another and have yet to exchange one word. Not one word. And if they do, it's a very short exchange, and the next thing happens, both of them pick up their cell phones. I'm sorry, start typing. The next thing they usually say is thank you to whomever brings them their food. There may be a brief exchange after that. They eat, go back to their phone, they pay the bill, and they leave. I'm not a big talker. I'm not. Not at all. I am more of a doer than a talker. You know, there's some times when I just want to be alone with my thoughts. There's just not a lot I have to say. I can do a little better than that, though. You know, I can have a conversation about. I can have a conversation when I'm around. Yes, Rodney and I have shared a million times that we are introverts with extrovert tendencies, and we know how to play that role rather well. But dang, man, you know, I had the conversation yesterday with a sister about communication, and her stance was men are bad at communicating, to which my response was, yeah, we pretty much have been that way in our entire lives. What's the beef? So I don't get it. Like, we are not the greatest in talking. We communicate, but we're not the greatest in talking. Not what a lot of men do. Not. Most men don't sit around and just talk forever. That's just not what we do. There was a clip that I saw yesterday. I don't know if I shared it with you all in the group chat. There was a clip that I saw yesterday. His brother was holding class at his church. He was saying that statistically women want 2 hours of in-depth conversation per day. Well, if you multiply that out, that's 14 hours a week. And, you know, if you look at that from another perspective, that's a part-time job. I don't know. Thomas, do you engage in 2 hours of in-depth conversation with your lady every day? Minimum.
I wouldn't say every day. I would say she probably can't sustain 2 hours of in-depth conversation with me. But we do have our moments when we, like, you know, we'll start off and talk into, like, I mean, we started one day, man. We didn't get off the phone until 5 o'clock in the morning. Just based off of whatever it is, but she has to really be in the mood, because women now are wired to hear what they want to hear. If they don't want to hear it, if it's not about what they want to talk about, they don't listen. And I can talk to brothers, like, I get on the phone with the brothers, and unless our kids, our significant other, or work calls for it, if we start a conversation, if the ideas are bouncing back and forth, we don't have that dialogue. It's gonna go. So it just depends on the people, man. If you find people that really want to have an in-depth conversation with you, and shout out to my sister, Khalees Houston. You know, I didn't have some 2 hours with her, but policy, life, and things of that nature, too. So it just all depends on the person.
Does it dry the coochie up? Because I know I've had conversations with her. And, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, I would love to talk to you. I'm like, okay, cool. We get to talking, and it's like, can I call you back? Hey, what happened? I thought you said you wanted to have a conversation. We're having a conversation. What's going on? Is it a coochie dryer? Are you really not? Are you really, really, really not ready to have an actual conversation? You know, is it one of those things where it's like, okay, cool, but in your head, you're like, well, guys only talk about this, or they'll only talk about that. And then when you give somebody, as you said, bro, you get someone that really has conversation, it's like, oh, that, oh, you wanted the smart one. Yeah, I wanted the... I didn't think you were going to be as engaging, and then you're talking about stuff that I really didn't have anything to say anything about because that's not in my wheelhouse. Oh, snap. I don't know what to do with you. Rodney, you run into that? I'm really curious, man, and I wish we had some sisters that were on that wanted to comment because I really want to understand. And it's not a relationship. I don't want to flip this into a relationship. It's not about that. It's strictly about community. How willing are you to really engage in community?
And yeah, but I think, bro, yeah, but I think if you're always using, like, short technology to shorten your dialogue, you know, like, you know, women are communicating in acronyms and emojis, brother. And it's kind of crazy because
and you're supposed
when
to decipher
they talk
that.
To us. Yeah,
you're supposed,
supposed
to decipher
to,
that.
But it's funny when they're talking to us, they don't always seem to get straight to the point. But with the emojis
right.
and everything else, it's like a comfort of shortening, you know, dialogue to a certain extent. So I would say, let me stop saying women. I just think it's a cultural thing. Whoever balls it, because there's some brothers that communicate that way too. But I feel like it's all about your repetitiveness. If you're always speaking
right.
in short, what do they call it? What do they used to call that? Was it shorthand? Shorthand writing,
shorthand
writing. You know, and it now with shorthand with the emojis and all of that. If you're communicating in that style, and only people you want to hear talk for a long period of time are the folks on reality TV, then you probably are not great at you're not as great as communicating as you think you are because you know you have to almost allow people to unpack the things that they're saying so you can fully get it.
Right, so let's talk about communication amongst men. And you know, someone just asked me, is this a relationship topic? No, it's not. And I said that a couple of seconds ago. I do not want it to turn into that. I want it to strictly be about communication in general. So communication amongst men. To your point, brother, we don't talk to that. You know what I'm saying? It's yo, we going to do this, and it's either a group agreement or a majority agreement. Everybody don't got to agree. You know what I'm saying? But I think that also leads to the fact that we are very fluid with who's the leader in that situation. Like, if it's two or three brothers together, you know what I'm saying, I might be like, yo, let's do this. And in that moment, it's like, all right, I'm going to rock with you. No matter what you say, what you do, I'm going to rock. Because I really don't care. All right, cool, we rock. And then, you know, a couple of hours later, you're like, yo, let's do this. Like, all right, that's up. We're going to rock. I don't think we clash as much, nor do we have the vibe or the thought process that everything that we feel needs to be heard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've not been engaged in conversation with a group of bros. And we making a move, and commonly cats like, well, I don't know, I don't get that. I haven't gotten that. Maybe I'm in the wrong circle, but It's like, yo, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And it's done. It's not a whole lot of talking about. It's like, all right, let's rock. Why not? It's more, I think that's better. I think it's more of a why not versus, well, why are we type of situation. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, I think that we tend to be misunderstood or we get off of the same wavelength when we talk across those across gender. You know what I'm saying? Again, not trying to make this centered around relationships. I'm just trying to talk about how we communicate in general. You know what I'm saying? I think that culturally, that's not true. I think culturally younger folks are more apt to talk in shorthand. I think culturally folks with younger children are more apt to speak in shorthand versus those of us who have older children, who our children are grown, because our children didn't communicate like that, we tend not to communicate. I know I don't. I know for me, I don't. When I talk to my kids, again, it's very rare that I ever text them. But if I do, they're going to get every word, every letter, and every syllable. I don't do the da-da-do's and the da-da-da's. I don't do that. But my children are older. My baby is 28. You know what I'm saying? I don't have young children. So I can understand a person who has younger children that does that, male or female, that does that. Because that's how they communicate with the children. So if a lot of communication is being had with your kids, which it should be, then that's a norm for you. I get it. But that doesn't mean I have to participate. You know what I'm saying? And I think that then falls into the appreciation of differences. Because if I'm saying to you, I said this on your show earlier today. If I'm saying to you that's not what I want, and you still giving me what you going to give me no matter what, then how much do you really appreciate and respect me? And again, male or female, doesn't matter. You know, how much do you really appreciate and or respect me? How much are you really taking my wants and my needs and versus what you feel or think I should be doing for you? You dig where I'm coming from? Did that make sense? Did I get lost a little bit?
No, I got what you're saying.
Okay. All right. Rodney, you still with us? I see he's still on, but he may be in something. Just let me know when you get back. I know we got him up because he was up
I'm right
as
here,
he
brother.
Normally is. Okay. Go ahead, bro.
Oh no, I just gonna say I didn't go to sleep yet, so I'm hanging in there as long as I can.
That's why I said I know we got you up though. And you up mad late, so that's tough. The Uber driver in Ohio. Thomas, leave that one off. You know, 81-year-old man shoots this sister.
Yeah. Tragic, man. Shot a Uber driver thinking that she was running a scam on him. It seemed like he might be a little bit demented. But
right.
Ohio is one of the most racist places that I've ever been to. And I think I brought this up on this show before. Last year, they were saying there was over 700 black people missing in the state of Ohio. There's something going on in Ohio. And that's why I don't really like talking about the identity politics and certain headline pieces so much, is because we miss things that are happening. To say you have 700 black folks missing from a state, that's a lot. That is a lot of people. And, you know, they have a lot of serial killers in Ohio too, brother. But back to this story with this guy. Look, man, the sister didn't have a chance. And I know people say guns don't kill people. People kill people with guns. And that's true.
Yeah, I said that. I'm one of the people.
but they don't do mental health assessments for people to buy guns. And that's the scary part. Or to continue to own a gun. No one's saying, hey, Mr. So-and-so, you now have dementia, you have PTSD, you have bipolar, you're manic bipolar, you're paranoid schizophrenic. Let's, you know, hand us over the pistol. So, yeah, that was just a scary sight. How do you brothers feel about it?
Racism,
so, you know.
It worked.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Lee, go ahead, but I didn't mean to step on
you. No. While you are lucid, I want you to go. Go for it, bro.
Right on.
Hey, you, right, because I could nod off any minute because it's about that time. But, no, it's racism and white supremacy. That's what it is. The thing in with the conspiracy dude, same difference, racism and white supremacy. As a matter of fact, Lee, we talked about this, and I even gave a warning to the folks here. I can tell you that the folks here are preparing, though, because this sectarian violence is already here. We're just not calling it what it is. And the dude in New York, that was another shot across the bow, if you will, that this stuff is about to blow up in a manner that we have never seen in this country. This is going to be some stuff like what we used to see on TV in Vietnam. Matter of fact, what we saw yesterday, that was a monk burning himself in Vietnam in a protest. The only difference was it was somebody that got a crazy conspiracy theory right here in the U.S. Whether the person was sane or not doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is that we're living in an environment that has been set up over a couple of hundred years that X45 has tapped into, that is bringing these things to the fore. And we better call it what it is, and then we better prepare. Because wait until the person shows up with a vest on that has ball bearings, screws, and nails in it with some C4 is about to blow off the chain. And black people are still trying to figure out who, if they should vote, and whether one is better than the other, they all the same. When somebody has their arms around your neck, that's the person that's your enemy, not the one that doesn't have the arm around your neck. So what happened, I watched the video. There's no excuse for what the guy, whether he was demented or not. Okay, if white supremacy is being called dementia now, I'll maybe that's what it was, but the seed of white supremacy and racism is what caused the Uber driver to be killed. White supremacy and racism was the Vietnamese monk and light himself a fire. But what I'm saying is we better start looking out for the people with the vests on.
Okay. So in this particular case, you know, you have a sister out here just trying to make a living. You know, she's just trying to earn some dough. She gets caught up in a situation where somebody else's foolishness literally cost her life. So I think not only is the fella that shot her culpable, but those whom called and put him in that state of mind also. You know, they didn't pull the trigger, but they were dang sure as instrumental in him pulling that trigger. So I think they should, if and when they're caught, be held liable for at bare minimum involuntary manslaughter, and they should go to prison as well. You know, but again, here you are going out here just trying to earn some coins, and the report comes out the other day about how much money you need to make as a single person to live in America. That shit ain't cheap. You know what I'm saying? So imagine if you're a person with a family, be it a single household, a single parent, and or you're taking care of one of your parents or one of your grandchildren. It doesn't matter. You're taking care of somebody other than your dad also. here you are needing to make dang near six figures just to survive in America currently as a single person. How much money do you need to make if you have an additional person that you're taking care of? This is ridiculous. You know, and I said earlier that, you know, the comments about communication wasn't about relationships or anything of the like, but I'll tell you all this. This single shit is for the birds. Let me tell you. You know, I'm keeping it a buck, son. This crap is for the birds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I became an adult fully this week. I'll tell you why. And my first world stories, right? Finally got a refrigerator. Now, God dang it, it's not the size that I wanted it to be. This is why I can't be ordering off Amazon early in the morning or late at night. But it's better than the one I had. Look, I've been in this house for over a year. And when I tell you that I've only had that little itty-bitty refrigerator, like the one you would slide up under your desk, that's all I've had in this house for an entire year. Why? First and foremost, Lee don't cook. Let's be clear about that. I'm not cooking. I can cook. I don't cook. I do not choose to invest my time in, because I'm almost never freaking here. Between work, and traveling, blah, 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 I'm almost never home. The other side of that is if you cook, you got to clean. If you cook, you got to store food. One of the things that turned my stomach big time when I moved last was all the food that I had to throw away, because I had a deep freezer, a refrigerator with a freezer, you know what I'm saying? And I had all kinds of stuff, man. I had steaks and chicken and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I couldn't eat that crap. And there was only but so much food I could give away to people. You know what I'm saying? My family members, their freezers were full of stuff. I'm like, God dang, man. Horrible. Horrible. But so I'm not going to do that again. And again, my taste buds change often. It's only me. If it was me and somebody else, then it would be a different daggone store. But it's only me. So it makes more sense for me to go to Subway, get a daggone tuna foot long for $9 and eat off that for 2 days. It's the how I eat now. Thank God, too, because I lost some weight. But I'm just saying, I eat differently now. So, you know, these things, these changes have had positive ramifications, and I'm digging on them. But not only did I do that this week, I bought a lawnmower and the edger thing, the weed thing. Yeah, one of them things. So I got that, too. So now I'm – there you go. I'm actually a full-fledged adult now. I can actually go out here and cut my own daggone grass. I can actually go out here and put some food greater than what I could before in the daggone refrigerator. I actually have freezer space to, you know, because I ain't going front now. Your boy's trying to lose some pounds. Still like my damn ice cream. So it's hot. It's the summertime. I need me some ice cream. You know what I'm saying? I got to figure out what kind of ice cream is good down here in Carolina, though. I haven't seen Breyers, and I love Breyers. So I gotta figure out what can even come close to it. But becoming that adult, going through those things, making those decisions, I definitely am appreciative of the lessons that I've picked up over the years. Rodney and I spoke early in the week, and I acknowledge the fact that we've known one another now for nearly 30 years. We've known one another since 1997. So we are 27 years in. At this point in life, heck, Ronnie, I think I'm almost as old as you were when we met, right? Something close to that, right? Maybe a couple years older. Maybe a couple years older. Yeah. You know, and it has been a privilege to see the growth, be a part of the growth, recognize the growth, and get better. But in that, I don't forget the struggles. I don't forget those crazy times before I became an adult, when my mouth was extremely loose, when my attitude was extremely sharp, when I was walking around like that vest, you know, I was just waiting to go off, and I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it, and now I can understand it better, deal with life better, therefore deal with people better, and I'm definitely in a much better place. You know what I'm saying? Now, when we get to folks who are willing to not only take their lives, but lives of others as well for a cause, be it whatever that cause is that they have locked in their mind, they don't see anything wrong with it. And there's nothing we can do about that because they will be, they'll always be fanatics. For good or evil, they'll always be fat. And depending on who's writing a history book, depends on which people are viewed as evil and which people are viewed as good. You know, in the situation that we have ourselves in right now, and I hate to keep ringing the same bell, to keep being dire, but if you look at it, y'all, just look at it. Iran attacked Israel. Israel attacked Iran. Iran is saying they don't plan on retaliating on Israel. Okay, I believe that one. Whatever. The push of the Russians in Eastern Europe, the push of the Chinese, the fact that that boy in the Philippines is talking about denying Americans access to more bases in the PI, that is going to be a problem. Mark my words, that is going to be a problem. So either the next election cycle in the PI will be called a fraud, and we will go back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, where, well, hell, even today's time, where some money will flow into the PI and he will be overthrown. Someone else will come in because we need those resources. We need those resources because China is a threat. The boy from NASA just said the other day that the Chinese are masking their military missions in space as civilian missions. That is a problem. He's pushing for billions and billions of dollars in order to combat that. The stage is being set. I don't know how else. Nobody trusts anybody. And that is a very dangerous for all of us to be in and live through. Very dangerous for all of us to be in and live through. Hence the reason that this older gentleman killed this sister. You know what I'm saying? He's getting bombarded with information that's false information. And he's making a life-altering choice, not only for her, but also for him, based off of some false information that he did not even take the time to verify. Because, again, the police said he took her phone. He refused to allow her to leave. But he did not call the police to have them assist him in this. He became the judge, jury, and executioner. Killed that lady. She got in her car and tried. Bad timing. Very bad timing. It is a very dangerous time. You add on that AI and how AI can manipulate folks, especially our older citizens. You know, especially our folks whom aren't as computer savvy, who aren't going to take a moment to check up on facts, to check and or recheck data, it's going to go and blast out something. We live in an extremely dangerous time. But that does not mean that we should take it into our own hands to take someone's life because of a phone call or multiple phones. But as you said, Brother Bear, the gentleman probably was not in the right state of mind. And because of that, all these things came to a head. And unfortunately, he took that sister's life.
Yeah, we're in a bad space. A lot of people are living in altered realities. And so when reality stops being a collective thing that we're all, you know, because we could all have different interpretations of reality, but when reality becomes just totally in a whole nother, sector from one another, I feel like that's where we're struggling the most as far as, what we got going on, And to Rodney's point about racism or what have you, the main thing is that it's hard to really, talk about it from that vantage point of saying, hey, could he have racist motives? Oh, certainly. Anytime I see a white person do anything harmful to somebody black, I always believe that subconscious, whether it's conscious or subconscious, that racism plays a role in it, right? And we got to be real about that in America. Like, racism is, racism is real. Like, you can't say racism is not real in America, because if anybody who's trying to say that, anybody who's trying to tell us anything different, they kind of lying about it. What I feel, though, is when you take this technology piece and then you can start manipulating people to think and feel about real people based off of false things, that's when it becomes dangerous, where somebody literally can say, program something to sound like me, or sound like Lee. I'm pretty sure we got enough voice content out here where anybody can manipulate that into the untrained ear, or people who don't really know us, they would say that's us. And if we, just saying some hateful, spiteful things, that could also create another round of, drama and possibly physical encounters, whether it's fatal or just fisticuffs. And so I'm worried about what I see, because the technology is really moving a lot faster than what, you can say. And then we got people who just have diabolical hearts sitting behind a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, brothers, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, now X, and other forms of social media have been manipulating the minds of all of us for a long time. AI is another device that is in the toolkit. But again, these things have been out there, and it's what have led us to where we are and open us up to things like deep fakes, crazy black people, and that's what I'm calling them. Anybody that supports Trump is crazy. I was talking to some crazy, and these were black men. As a matter of fact, when the shooting starts, I sure hope they don't come running to my foxhole, because they won't be in my foxhole. But when these crazy black men started talking that Trumpican stuff, they all say the same thing, say it the same way, and they even asked me to prove them wrong. When I proved them wrong, they came up with the famous deflection technique of silence. When I post something that is true about their boy, then they want to laugh at it to make it a joke so no one takes it serious. Or they'll say something, well, blue does it too. And I could go down a list of the crazy stuff that they say, because they've been programmed. And they've been programmed not just today, but the programming has been put into effect for years. We're seeing the fruits of the labor of those in this country, especially those in foreign countries. But here's the rub. as Brother Steele would say, is that China nor does Russia have to send people to America to spy on us today. All they have to do is develop an app for us to use in social media. All they have to do is send device pay for it. Matter of fact, we pay for them to spy on us now. And then they take that data, they take that information, and they talk to a few people that might have been born in America or that came to America to go to school that start to understand white supremacy and racism, because it's pretty simple. And they say it's easy. All you have to do is tell white people how dangerous black and brown people are. All you have to do is tell black and brown people how dangerous they are to each other. And you develop distrust. Dr. Timothy Snyder, in his book, laid this stuff. As a matter of fact, you can see this stuff in a bunch of books. If you read a little bit of psychology, you'll find out that what X45 does is actually a high form of psychology in conditioning people, but it's the same methodology that's been used since Hitler's day. And yes, I invoke the name of Hitler because it applies here, because what's going on in America is like 1930s Germany. And so those people who are standing on the side need to get off the sidelines and get into the game, because they are attacking our children now with the social media, but they're going in a little deeper because they're going after the school board seat so that they can have more direct control over the minds of our children now so they don't have to worry about them later. I am definitely not sleeping right now physically, and I'm not sleeping about what's going on. And our people need to get the Three Stooges slapped so they can wake the AT-double-toothpicks up and get in this game, because this is a deadly game. And we always talk about our children, our future. Somebody told me yesterday at the gathering that now our future is now. We just have to nourish them for later. Well, if we don't get to nourishing them, because they're being fed a bunch of bovine defecation now, that's having them double think what Brother Barry says about what's real. Folks cannot tell you what's real. One of the key ingredients of a fascist takeover is when they get the population, when it's the population distrust the institutions. And Brother Barry used to talk about how we need to shore up our institutions. Our institutions are falling, and as they fall, so are we. Black people have saved this country and the world many times over. We got to get a horse and start saving, because that's the only way we're going to save ourselves.
I would say the reason why people are so gung-ho on this Trump thing, and I saw BJ Academics, he did an interview with Donald Trump Jr., and I posted on his Instagram page, on his YouTube page. I said, you know, this isn't going to age well. And the reason why I say that is because young people think they know everything based off of sound bites, and they don't. They don't know the details of many of the things that they call themselves talking about, and really trying to put themselves in position to know. They look at Trump still as a celebrity. They look at his son as a celebrity, and they love money so much. It's a reason why, and I go back to this all the time, it's a reason why they put certain celebrities that are black in front of us. Their favorites are the ones who are wealthy, don't say much, and when they act like they're saying much, still don't say much, a la Jay-Z. They're always malleable to the system, and then it makes their fans malleable to the system. It makes them assimilationists. Donald Trump freed some men from prison. You know who he didn't free from prison? He didn't free any black political prisoners. We kind of forget that these rappers and drug dealers are in jail because they committed crimes. Like, freeing someone for less time because you feel like, man, 40 years is too harsh, and freeing somebody that's actually innocent is two different things. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian and all those guys, that's social capital that they're cashing in on this younger generation. I haven't heard any particular policies that people are pointing to say, oh, yeah, Trump did that. And when they talk about the money, they're talking about the stimulus packages that were given out because of COVID. So when you say you want Trump in because he gave, oh, we have more money with Trump, are you forgetting the stimulus package? Are you? Do we need COVID to come back for you all to feel happy? Because that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds, and look, I'm not trying to cap for Biden. This is not that at all. But to really sit and act as if Trump is going to be the one, not seeing what this man is going through, what he's put the country through, I'm telling y'all, it's going to be hell to pay the captain if that happens.
He got to get through this trial in New York first. And they finally got, well, look, I won't lie, did not think that they were going to be able to get 12-seated jurors and six alternates in a week. I did not think that was going to happen. Because I thought he was going to make it a sham every day, all day. Well, not a circus. I thought he was going to make it a circus every day, all day, and we wouldn't get beyond the bull crap of him. Then I had a thought, I want to say Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. I said, you know what? Again, this dude is a fool, but he ain't no dummy. He does these things because they are a mechanism for him to delay. It's another mechanism for him to delay. So every time there has to be a sidebar trial, a sidebar meeting of the lawyers in the judges' chambers, whatever, that is more time and longer that this trial is going to take. So again, he does these things in order to eat up the clock in hopes that he will be reelected come November. We are 199 days away from the election. And he is still bleeding money. He's bleeding money not because of the campaign. He's bleeding money because of all these damn trials he has won. Letitia James has put forward to the court that the bond that he put aside, the 145, isn't valid. He's going to have to defend that. That's going to cost him money. Where's that money coming from? He's funneling campaign money into his trial. You know, these folks around here that are throwing all this admiration upon this cat because he's so smart, he's so rich. He's a, that mug ain't rich, that mug broke. He's broke. If he were, and again, if he wasn't guilty, right, why delay the trial? Get it over with. Go get it over with and be done with it. You don't want to do that because you know your ass is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're going to put you in jail. You know it don't smell right. It don't look right. It don't walk right. It don't bark right. You know it. That's why you want to delay that mission. You know what? I ain't guilty. Y'all go run. I'll be right there. It's good. This trial will be over in 3 days. You ain't got nothing on me, Jack. That's what non-guilty people do. Guilty people want to delay. Guilty people want to go in public and talk trash about the judge and the prosecutor and the witnesses and all this other stuff. That's what guilty people do. Because they're trying to make the trial about anything and everything except for the facts. Except for the facts. And they know daggone well they convict this boy. They know daggone well this boy going to go ahead and file. He's going to ask for a retrial. You know what I'm saying? Which is his right. But, again, it's a delay tactic. It's all about him trying to get to November and hoping that he gets reelected. Because if he doesn't, his booty is grass. Rodney, see, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying not to curse. But his booty is grass. Now, who else's booty is grass? Mike Johnson. Speak it out. Is the boy named Michael? He's Kevin. You know, I got confused real quick like that. That's a daggone shame. But Speaker Johnson. Yeah, I know, right? Look, names get all twisted up in my mind when
Lee.
I'm going back and forth. It's Mike Johnson. Yeah.
Lee is Commander Johnson.
What'd you say? Commander Johnson. Well, he's about to get relieved. He about to get ROD'd. If you all don't know what ROD means, it means relieved of duty. They coming after that boy because he wants to put money up for Ukraine and not put as much money up for Israel. So, you know, they talking about they being the Freedom Caucus and, you know, specifically your girl, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They need someone in place who puts America first. But the biggest problem is they now have a third Republican. Because remember, he on such shaky ground that anybody can call for him to lose his job. Now they got three. Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona signed onto the motion to vacate. Again, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. Go ahead.
Brian Gosar is so crazy that his own family has denounced him and begged for somebody to help him. Find Robert Kennedy Jr. Family denounced him, and you know, this is what happens when you have the inmates running the asylum. This is it. We're looking at it. And one of the things I've been telling the general is we got to start being a little more forceful. And us brothers need to, Dr. King said a man cannot ride the back unless it's bent. So we need to get off our knees and we need to get off the chair and we need to stand up and stand upright, push back and fight back. Because we got crazy people. We got crazy white people indoctrinating crazy black people. And so you just have more crazy people. We have crazy people running for office. We have crazy people in office like Kosar. Marjorie Three Names is crazy. Lauren Boebert is crazy. A criminal. We know these things. Let's stop.
Lauren Boebert.
Stop.
You mean the hand job chick?
Yes, right there in the theater. She reversed back to her former self. Well, her ex-husband was a sex offender.
But shouldn't she be one, too? Because they were trying to get it on right in front of the baby. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just inappropriate.
But we keep giving I guess one of my points here is we keep giving these people passes. Even when we're talking about them now, we're talking about them like we were talking about politicians 40 years ago. These are not politicians 40 years ago, politicians 40 years ago on steroids. Even George Wallace don't compare to most of these people in the so-called Freedom Caucus, and we probably shouldn't even call it the Freedom Caucus. We should call it the Klan Caucus because that's what it is. And I just think that we need to be a little more forceful, a little more direct. One of the reasons being is that the few people that might follow me, they don't want to hear me being mealy-mouth anymore because that's confusing them. The people following Cito Mussolini, they're being very direct with their talk. I posted in the chat, Byron Donalds, another crazy black man. Matter of fact, I'm not going to call him a black man. He's a crazy man that has the unfortunate same ancestry that I do, who is telling jurors, who is telling prospective jurors to pretend like they're not X-45 supporters so that they can get on the jury and cause a hung trial or vote him innocent. That's a member of the United States House of Representatives. Marjorie Three Names, if you go to her office in D.C., right outside of her office in D.C., you would not even know she is an American from the stuff that she has posted on the outside of her office. Talking about killing people and whatnot. So we're acting like this is business as usual. If we allow it to be business as usual, it will be business as usual, and that will mean that we have succumbed to the programming too. It's just another stage of it. We got to get serious, fellas, and I'm speaking specifically for the brothers. The sisters out there doing what the sisters can do, but the brothers need to be out there doing their thing. Biden-Harris campaign this week.
You going to talk about
week,
that?
They have
I'm
no
going to leave it alone.
They have no clue what black people want, and they definitely have no understanding of black men, and they are hemorrhaging black men. See, I'm trying to give it to y'all straight this morning because I didn't have any sleep, so I'm just being me right now. The Biden-Harris campaign does not have a clue about what black men want, but maybe the sad thing, too, is I'm not sure if black men know what black men want. And if
we know,
don't get it together, tell them, nobody will. And as they continue, like Thomas said, I'm not capping for Biden, but I got one man that's telling me he's going to put me in a concentration camp by the million. He's trying to take away my vote, and I got black people saying he's better than Biden and we need to vote for him, or Biden's so bad that they're not going to vote. Well, they better understand that he has a final solution for us too. He don't care nothing about us. And those brothers who got those pardons, those rappers, they paid $1 million. That wasn't through X45's benevolence, other than through his wallet. They gave him cold, hard cash for those pardons. He didn't do nothing for black people. He just took advantage of black people by taking some of their icons and making it seem like he was benevolent while he pocketed their cash. Come on now. We got to be better than this. We always talk about we're not our ancestors. We're not our grand. They didn't fall for stupidity like that. I mean, I don't think that we should compare either group because we're all who we are. But let's not be stupid about this stuff, because this is urgent. But it doesn't make any difference whether he's in the house or whether he's in the big house, because it does not silence him, and it does nothing to silence his minions who use the same tactics as him. A bunch of Klansmen running around indoctrinating more Klansmen, and unfortunately some of them happen to have the same ancestry as the three of us on here.
I would say that, I would say this about the Biden administration and with black men, and I'm saying this respectfully. The problem is the Sharptons of the world, the Michael Egg Dysons of the world, and other black men who are just happy to give
Kamala
attention.
Harris.
Well, I don't want to blame her because she's not a black man.
She's not a man.
She's not a man, and she don't have no business speaking for us. And black men need to tell sisters we can speak for ourselves. It's that whole mammy thing, and I keep on saying that. Like, some of us love to be mammied. I don't understand. You women will not allow you to speak for them, so why are you letting them speak for you? And so you have to be able to be self-defined. But when you have people who are sitting at the table and they're just happy to be at the table, they don't care if other men are not at the table. They just want to be a part of the program. And I feel like that's what destroys. I think black men just want decency. People just want access to the American dream. And I don't believe that that's a lot to ask. And I feel like that's where we are constantly falling behind. You, as many people that you bring in from these other countries, we're already the last hire, first fired. What happens when you bring in other people? We're going to be the first ones gone. Oh, you add AI to the mix. Oh, that's more jobs gone. So where's the decency at? Do you think a man, as much as men love, and I think you should support your lady, but when you're hearing people saying, I'm only going to deal with folks who are equally yoked because they don't really understand the scripture, when they say things of that nature, and because you don't have a degree and because you don't own a home and you ain't working in corporate America, when you don't have access to those things that everyone else is having access to, there is no programs to make sure you got stable housing, black man. So until you go through the process of bumping your head and go to college, and then you could have a college degree like a sister in your 30s and start making money. That's not so accessible for black men. I believe brothers do know what they want. The question is this country willing to give us what we want and what we desire and the things who are the things that would actually make the country stronger? This Trump thing, I just keep seeing it as the nerds that want to be cool. When I hear people call this guy rappers, call him Daddy Trump, Uncle Trump, all of these things. And mind you, a lot of these brothers are not African-Americans. So let me go on the record of saying that. A lot of them are not, and they're not politically savvy. But it gives this underbelly that he's okay. He's invited to the cookout, as they say, right? And I feel like that is just politically flawed. And I
he
feel
can't
like
bring the potato salad, though.
What'd you say?
He can't bring the potato salad, though. Must have had some raisins.
But I feel like, man, it's tough because we're in this spot right now. When you think of all the black great thought leaders of the past, they would be really just pulling their hair out, asking, what the F are y'all doing? And it wouldn't. And once again, they wouldn't be capping for Biden either. They would just say, politically, to get where you need to be, do you really feel like cozying up to this guy is the way to go? Like, his track record of how he's treated black people who's worked for him, how he's treated black folks who've been wrongly incarcerated, how he just talks about people in general. Like, you want him to be over the military of this country? Man, you got to be on dope.
When you say that folks say that we're better off under Trump, I agree with you. I don't understand what they're talking about. The money situation, I agree with you, outside of the bump in benefits during COVID, and the check for COVID relief, I don't see it. I didn't feel it then. I didn't feel it now. I think Trump is only out for Trump. He will pacify some of his cronies only because it benefits himself. I think that, again, he might be crazy, but he ain't stupid. So he will pacify those people that he feels can be of help to him if he's in a situation like he's in right now. if he's in a situation where he needs money, now he can go back, hey, I did you a solid, I need you to do me a solid. Now, your solid may be a hell of a lot bigger than the solid that you did for me. It may be a hell of a lot bigger than the solid I did for you, but remember, I did you a solid. And that's the game that I see this cat playing more often than not. I see him always wanting to be much bigger than he actually is. And let's be clear, he's a big guy. Tall, girth, whole nine, he's a big guy. But still, I think he has a adolescent ego that needs to constantly be stroked. And because of that, that's why he behaves like he does. I would hope that he is proven to not be above the law, because it's a lesson that the country needs. I think the country has gotten off its rails. I think we've gotten extremely comfortable in our pursuit of money and fame, that we've lost what made us a good place. Not a great place, because it's never been a real great place for people that look like us, but a good place. And that is our sense of decency. Our sense of decency beyond and above all. This trial, I hope these tribulations lead us back to an understanding that that sense of decency is the true foundation of which this nation was built on outside of slavery, and that that can be a beacon for all to follow. Again, I said earlier that the stage is set with respect to the militaries of this world. And it's going to take something or someone extremely charismatic to calm those tides, temper those attitudes. And I think we can do it. I think we can do it. But that person will probably need to be from the U.S. just because our military is so big. That person is probably going to need to come from us. And honestly, I think it's going to be a woman. I think it's going to be a woman. I think it'll be our first female president. And, you know, I think she is really going to need to step up and slap the boys in the room. Like, yo, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And bring the temperature down. Because right now, it's white hot. It's white hot out there. You know, Rodney, I could not imagine us being in Korea right now. What, ladies and gentlemen, what you all don't know is, you know, well, you may or may not know, but the war in Korea never ended. We are still at just a ceasefire. So the base that Rodney and I were at behaved like the war never ended. We literally behaved like we were at war. We did that twice a month for real. And the other times, we did it for play. What I mean by that is twice a month, we had a full-fledged exercise, a whole week, a whole 5 days. And by that fifth, sixth day, you know, it could go six, 7 days, depending on how things were going. By that fifth, sixth day, you were praying that thing was over. Because you were in full chemical gear. You're out there in that daggone heat or in that freezing cold or in that daggone whipping winds when the rain is coming down like a freaking monsoon, because it's yeah, man, bad. But then the other times of the month, it was usually a 2-3 day situation where you just had a little scramble and you doing this and you doing that. Again, 2-3 days and it's over. But we played constantly like we were at war, constantly. I can't imagine being over. I can only imagine, you know, those two times a month have been turned into three times. Hell, it may be even every month they're behaving like that. They may just get the weekends off. You know, we were over there working. Were we working 12s, Ronnie, or 10s? But we were working extended hours during the week, and you still got your weekends off pretty much. But during the week, it was either a 10-hour day or a 12-hour day. That was a normal duty day. 10-hour day, I wanted. That was a normal duty. And that's a lot. That's a lot of work, man. You know, you're talking about 10 hours of work before you go to the gym and do that stuff. You know, that wasn't your work day. If your unit decided to do gym time and all that jazz, you still had to do that. Then you went to work, and you were at work for another 10 hours after that. So, but it helped, though, because it helped make the time go by fast, you know. But definitely at – and this is why I said, you know, I had to change my thought. This is why I've been trumpeting, you know, we always hear how important – like, oh, man, this election, most important month. This one is really – really, really that, though. Because if we go with this joker, it's going to be real bad real fast. Real bad real fast. If we go with the other joker, we at least buy ourselves time. In my humble opinion, we at least buy ourselves time. We go with him, and it's, oof. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of good coming out of that. I just don't see a whole lot of good. I see a heck of a lot more bad than good coming out. I really do. And I don't want to be pessimistic or anything of that nature. I'm just being honest. Like, oof, I do not want to see us in that like, under that rule. With him giving in to Russia, him kissing Putin's feet the way he does, and, you know, cutting off resources to Ukraine, you know, because look, if Biden is reelected, I think this war in Ukraine will be over in short order, because the Russians are holding on. They are holding on to November. Their real last hope is that Trump gets elected. Kill that crap with their support from Beijing. You know, yeah, the Chinese are funding them and, you know, still supporting them, blah, blah, blah. But if they can't, if they don't get a blind eye or a pass from the U.S., yeah, dog. Because if Biden gets reelected and he feels like there's a mandate with the amount of Republicans that are leaving, push forward some very, very huge bills to support the Ukrainian army, and this thing will be over in very short order. Very short order. So am I seeing that wrong, Rodney, you think?
So let me, I'm going to break this down. I'm going to give it to you raw, give it to you straight. Ukraine falls because X-45 gets elected, or I do less than nothing, Congress doesn't vote for the funds.
Right.
Taiwan will fall. Because China will move to America.
Who will fall?
Taiwan.
Okay, gotcha.
Taiwan fall, right? So this is a domino effect here. This is geopolitical politics, which apparently doesn't get taught in school. Ukraine falls as a message to China that America will not support its allies that are not looking like them, right? China goes into Taiwan and takes Taiwan. Russia takes Ukraine. Right above Ukraine is Poland. Poland is part of the former Soviet bloc. Putin has already said he wants to reconstitute the Soviet Empire, but he's talking about the former Soviet Union.
Uh-huh.
After China takes Taiwan, China is going to take a trek to the Pacific. It's already the island of Dane, uses beachheads to launch missions. They're going to take American Samoa. They're going to talk to Marianas Island. They're going to eventually get around to Hawaii, right? North Korea. I'm glad you mentioned Korea. China is already feeding Okinawa, which is actually not Japanese. They're their own people, Okinawa. But anyway, China is already feeding members in the Okinawan government like they've done in the American Congress with money, so that they will talk Yang, that's a southern term, Lee, and so that they will talk Yang about the politicians in Okinawa who are trying to fight for democracy. They're trying to get the money to war, just like the crazy, trying to do the crazy black people here and the white supremacists. Okinawa doesn't support Japan. Okinawa opens itself up to Chinese bases to come in and use that as a launch into, against Japan. Before China even gets there, if the Ukraine falls, if Taiwan falls, Korea cannot stand on its own without American forces. X-45 doesn't care anything about South Korea. So that gives North Korea the go-ahead to go in to take South Korea. Even with American forces there, it was going to be hard to fight back North Korea. We were going to do it, but we would sustain a whole bunch of losses. You remove the American forces, North Korea would, in about 4 minutes, do massive damage to South Korea and start rolling in. And in about a month's time, the South Korean forces would be crying uncle. The problem with that, for our other ally, Japan, is that North Korea doesn't just want to unify the Korean Peninsula. It wants to unify the peninsula. And they will go and they will take Japan while China is watching and providing support. So we will lose three allies that quick. I watched RF Kennedy spread some game and said that the money that we're sending to Ukraine, that we could, I think it was housed all people in America or something crazy like that. And maybe that is true. But he was saying what we're really doing is sending money to the military industrial complex. So here's your three stupid slaps on that. Sending money to another country. about losing one American life, nor do we have to worry about the cost of deploying one American. If we decide to pick up this one of the largest militaries in the world, which is ours, and deploy them to Europe to push back on Putin once he takes Ukraine and sets his eyes on Poland because it's a NATO nation, and we have a treaty that says we have to defend it. Well, if we have to defend this, the way that we're going to have to defend this is Russian soldiers will be on their borders and attacking the country, which means we will have to deploy military forces and military personnel that is going to American humans over fight. Whatever it costs us to send money over doesn't even compare to the amount of money it costs to pick this giant military force up and mobilize it. And then once you spend all that money to mobilize it and get it into place, let's talk about the lives lost. It wouldn't have been lost if we had simply sent the money to Ukraine. So we're going to pay in lives lost, we're going to pay in materiel loss, and we're going to pay in personnel loss, and it's irreplaceable. So let me tell you the largest cost that RSK neglected to share with everybody. Whatever it costs to prosecute war for America, it costs roughly to four times that cost to take care of people like me for the rest of their lives who got injured in that war. That's the real cost of war. So, I need our people to get in the game. I need them to get their heads in the game because one domino falls. That is America. All the people say we need to stop spending money on American military and do this and that with it. You're about to see why we need to spend so much money. Because if we wind up having to fight on multiple fronts, China on one side, Korea on one side, Russia on another side, all of those dollars that you thought they could go to something else, they're going to need to go to prosecute this war to defend this country against those people that I just named and those allies. The lie that they're telling is that Joe Biden is trying to start World War III. No, no, no. What he's doing in Ukraine is preventing World War III because I give due credit. He's been around long enough to understand geopolitical politics, and he knows that that is the linchpin right now that is keeping the world stable, and we cannot afford to pull that pin out. Anybody have any questions? Feel free to contact me on Facebook and call me, and I'm more than willing to educate you on what's really going on. You're talking about somebody who has been involved in preparing for war at some of the highest levels. I'm not one of the conspiracy theorists because if you think QAnon knows something because they have a Q clearance, well, usually people who have real clearances don't brag about their clearances, but for this, it's a little bit. Whoever QAnon is with his Q clearances, not compared to the clearances that I had. So if you can believe him spending some lies with that low clearance that he has, why don't you listen to a brother who's really been there and who has the real clearance and has been in the real game?
And, again, I have said, it goes back to what I said earlier, you know, I'm not trying to keep ringing that same bell, but I'm looking at the pieces, and like you, bro, I know. I'm looking at the table. The table is set. We are one mistake away, one psychopath away, Donald Trump. Netanyahu, because Netanyahu is in the same damn boat. Kim Jong-un, is that the boy's name now? Yeah. What's the boy's name? Vladimir Putin. We are one psychopath away from this whole thing going up in smoke, literally. You know, the balloon popping and real bombs starting to go off, shelling, mortars, whole nine. You know, China is not building up its navy for nothing. Nobody does that. Nobody just comes up. China's not worried about the Japanese refitting a aircraft carrier for nothing. They're pissed about that. But the Japanese understand that the Chinese are coming after them. So they had to do something. They just couldn't sit there. They can't sit back and worry about America and what America can or cannot do for them. They have a responsibility to take care of their people. They have to look after their people, so they had to do something. This boy in the Philippines, I guarantee you, you do some digging, somebody putting some money in his pocket. Somebody's putting some money in his pocket. And he's worried about him, not his people. He's worried about him and enriching himself, not his people. You know, I think, honey, I may need to reach out to some folks that I know that are Filipino and see how they feel about him. But, yeah, man, it's insane, bro. And again, it's not hard to see. It's about what you want to see. And what you want to see may not be may not be pretty, but that doesn't, I'm sorry, it may not be pretty, but that doesn't mean it's not the truth. And the truth is mighty ugly right now. But I don't want to get stuck there. Brother Barry, unless you had another comment, I don't want to get stuck there. I wanted to move on because we talked about Johnson. Go ahead.
Well, the only thing that I wanted to say is that fanaticism is easy, is an easy sell to consumers. You know, when you are not on the technical side of creating things, and this is why I always say social studies, civics, world history is needed in schools, because you're going to repeat everything if you don't know what you came from. It's easy to get another Trump or another Putin or what have you when you don't understand. And my last point is, like I talked to you last week about, imagine changing the topic on these people. When they're bringing up all of these antiquated conversations and saying, you know, I'm Joe Biden and I don't want to talk about abortion rights. Conversation with this bully pulpit is going to be set in terms of the Supreme Court. Just imagine that. Or being able to say, we're not going to have towns like we got in Alabama going on where black people can't vote. White folks are still taking the vote away. They haven't had elections in 30 years, or no, in the last 50 years. We're not talking about those types of things. And it just makes the conversation not so much about the ideology, but the figures. And I feel like that's where we fail as a country. This is a conversation, a debate, a war of ideologies and philosophy. You better know the depths of the ideology and philosophies being thrown at you. You have to know their strengths, their weaknesses, the nuances, as well as how some of the things have been watered down and some of the things have been added on. But that's where I feel this conversation is, Brother Lee. I just feel like people really need to study up and not dummy up.
Right. And you know, can I circle back, if you all don't mind? Let's circle back to the House and why this matters. This matters because, again, depending on the election, the House is getting thinner and thinner. On Thursday, Jake LaTurner, Republican from Kansas, announced that he, in fact, was going to retire and not seek re-election. Now, this dude is 3 years in and said, yeah, I'm good. That's enough. Now, if you remember, the last time we talked about this, if he goes early, it will exactly be a 50-50 split in the House. Exactly 50. Because they only had one vote for the majority. So the tying vote then goes to the vice president. So in effect, the Democrats will have controlling interest in the Senate and the House. Now, if you get in, let's just say it remains even moving forward after the presidential election. And you get your boy, Cheeto Mussolini, as Rodney calls him, in the seat, and then his VP. What kind of chaos does that throw us? Because, again, he's the towel boy. He's the water boy. for Putin right now. You know what I'm saying? So he going to do whatever the hell Putin say. That ain't a good look. Not a good look. We are not sitting in a good place at all. Not at all. But this is the place in which we sit, and this is where we got to have the fight. We got to push out from where we are, not where we want to be. We got to push out from where we are, not where we want to be. So we got to push against cats like this from taking over and putting us in harm's way. That's circle back number one. Circle back number two. I have the belief, maybe it's a blind belief, but I do have the belief that Americans, for all of our shortcomings, are more good than bad. Riding to your point about the Biden-Harris campaign, they don't have any idea what black men are, and they are leaning heavily on women, regardless of race, to carry them over the finish line, because his economic message is not hitting home the way it needs to. And it's not hitting home the way it needs to, because when you go outside, as I'm going to have to at some point today, and get some gas, gas is high as hell. So they announced on Friday, I want to believe, that they were not going to fill up the Federal Reserve in Louisiana. They were going to actually allow that gas to flow into the public space so that it can ease the price of gas. The price of gas is high because of the Ukraine-Russian war. Russia is still a large exporter of gasoline. When your fields are getting bombed because you're engaged in war, you can't export gasoline. Hence our issue. Hence our problem. But again, everybody's holding out till November. November is going to be huge. November is going to be a momentous occasion, not only for our nation, but for the world. That's what I'm calling. That's how I see it. So please, vote. I would be lying if I said I don't care who you voted for, but you have the right to pull that lever, push that button for whomever. Fill in that little circle for whomever you choose. So vote. Please vote. Please vote. When you vote, think about yourself, your mama and them, your kids, the environment, and everything else. But vote. And that's all I got to say. You know what I'm saying? We got like 10 minutes left. Roddy, I was not going to talk about your conversation because, you know, I felt that wasn't appropriate. But since you talked about it, is there anything else you want to share? You good?
Actually, Lee, I'm not good. And I'm not good because who have been the preeminent people on the planet ever since we've been here, regardless of whether we were held in captivity or not. And to a certain extent, we still set the trends in the entire world, are sitting on their backsides right now, talking about they're not going to vote, or that they don't like Biden because of the 94 crimes bill, or you pick something that is irrelevant right now to
this moment,
our children's lives and to our very soon-to-be lives. And I talked to the general. She don't like the idea, but I said, I am not going to be diplomatic and I'm not going to be quiet, because until we can get some true leaders to stand up, somebody has to speak up. And I'm calling on black people. If you don't know better, ask somebody. You cannot set this out. You cannot go, what is that thing about same bird? Two wings, same bird. Yeah, this is not that right now. You got one dude who is causing people to light themselves on fire, that's taking their vehicles and running them into FBI office gates, that's running into the Capitol gates, that's running into the White House gates. They're trying to take whatever good part of democracy that there is, they're trying to take it away. Fascists had a final solution for black people, too. Here's something for you all to read, for those of you who read. And if you don't read, find somebody who does read or either get your device to read it for you. It's called 2025. It's simple. They're already getting people, they're vetting people to take, I think it's like 30 to 50,000 civil service jobs to remove those people who have to take an oath to the United States of America's Constitution, i.e. the American people, and replace them with people who are only loyal to one person, and that's X-45. And most of the people that they're going to hire, unless they're people with skin like mine that are bootlickers and bent over, the only people they're going to hire are people who are loyal to that one person. They don't care nothing about you. And the reason why he's hiring them is so when he wants to do something stupid that's going to harm people that look like us, so that he won't have people there to stop him. The reality of it is there is the reason why people like Newt Gingrich was going after civil service workers before is because a large percentage of them are black. That's why he called them lazy. They got rid of a whole bunch of them. Now they're not beating around the bush. They're not talking about it. They're telling you, I'm coming after you. 30 to 50,000 gone. Most of them will be black. The thing about black people is we are actually the most law-abiding people in this country, along with immigrants. Because we know what it's like to have to face the law when we didn't even break the law. Nevertheless, when we do something wrong. And so these are the people who tend to get in offices like that. And one of the reasons why I had the positions that I had, because one thing they could count on is we will do it by the book. We will do it right. Well, they're about to remove those safety people, the people who stop the crazy stuff from happening. They're about to remove them. But they're not just removing them from the civil service. They're minions that are in governorships and legislatures throughout this country. I think it's like 26, 27 states because they have the majority of the legislatures. They're looking at doing the same thing in local government, state government, county government, city government, that there'll only be people who report to X-45 and carrying out his policies. Even though the president should have nothing to do with local policy, all he has to do is say it and they will do it. He has co-opted the Christian faith. And so for you Christians out there, I'm not talking about you Trump the Christians. I'm talking about you real Christians out there. You need to push back on your white evangelical brothers who are selling you to that cross and give the real word. And push back on the crazy because it has nothing to do with the Bible. And by the way, while I'm on that topic, Jesus was black. Let me throw that in there for those of you who say, why should I back that European religion? Why don't you take your religion back? Why don't you take it back? Right? Let's be who we are and stop being who they told us we should be. Because we're the baddest monkey talkies on the planet, but we're playing slow and we're playing low and we're playing weak. Need to stand up, puff your chest out, and show them in Black Panther, Queen Mother, show them who you are. Let's show them who we are and stop letting them telling us who we are. Because I'm one of the baddest so-and-sos on the planet. I'm looking for others like me to join in the resistance because that's what we're going to need. But before we get to there, all we have to do is go out and vote. It's real simple. That's how our form of government is set up, is we vote with rhetoric, ideas, and with the vote. Otherwise, you have to do like Frederick and Dennis, the bullet box. And not many of us have enough bullets, and we don't have enough guns, and we sure enough don't know how to shoot it. So I don't want us to get there, but I got mine. I'm strapped. Are you? You better think about it. You better get that food. They're coming after you. They're coming after us.
Let me get Thomas in real quick. Thomas, the WNBA draft. What you think about it? You think Caitlin Clark deserved to be number one?
I felt like she, with all the hoopla, definitely, you know, her being number one was par for the course. I like the idea that Angel Reese, as well as the other sister, Camila Cardoso, Camila went number three, Reese went number seven.
That's going to be a problem going to Chicago. Chicago going to be a problem.
Yep. And they're right next
to They're going to be a problem.
So that's going to be a great rivalry when you really think about those two, because both of them can rebound and play defense, and they'll be able to steer. And I just saw a video with Angel Reese shooting threes, man, and she wasn't missing, man. She was shooting them guys from deep. Cameron Brink went number two out of Stanford. I mean, man, look, I say this about drafts and sports all the time. It's all about potential. You have the potential to be great depending on where you land, depending on the coaching staff, and depending on how you can deal with the pressure of playing in the spotlight. My thing with Caitlin Clark is I think she can ball. I think she got game. I just don't believe that you should, you know, forget the idea that she lost twice and that the WTA is full of champions. She's not one, right? And they're already treating her as if she won some rings. So let's see what she does on this next scale. Salute to everybody in the WNBA. I'm hoping to see the ladies' game market themselves. And one last point about that, I believe that the game is marketing better because the women are looking more feminine. And I feel like men can look at women that they feel like, oh, they, you know, if you can fantasize about it, you'll watch it. But, you know, just like women don't want to watch a bunch of men they're not attracted to in the NFL or NBA, I think guys are finally getting what they want in the WNBA.
Good point. Well, look, our sister wasn't able to rock with us this morning, but I think we held it down again in her absence. Things were different because we started off with the guests at the top of the show, but we made it work. Rodney, go to sleep. Thank you for joining us. I know you're going to crash right after this. That's okay. Brother Barry, thank you again, man. As always, you had a great show earlier today, and I'm glad you were able to join us during the show. For those of you that listen live, listen later, we appreciate you, as we always do. Look at us, man. We're about to turn 12. It's crazy. October the 6th, it'll be 12 years of doing the damn show. But, you know, it's still going. Thank you all for your time. As we always say about this time, ain't nobody told you to love you. We do, and ain't a damn thing you can do about it. Until next week, family, peace. I got a plane to catch. Y'all be easy. One.